Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are all doing well on this busy Tuesday. This is not Todd Starnes. This is one of Todd's staff here at the local radio station where the hub of the Todd Starnes Show is broadcasted from sea to signing sea this morning. And I'm used to morning time because I am the morning show host, and you'll hear me once in a while join the Todd Starnes Show from here and there, of course. Little did you know, Todd gave me my first job out of college. And so without Todd, where would I be? That's the question. I'd probably still be living with my parents down in my basement. My parents would never have stood for that. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Bandeater here. Todd, my boss, is headed to Houston, Texas. I think he's actually 30,000 feet up in the sky. And we're not going to talk about the airline story that I have for him because I don't want to scare him. So he's going to be hanging out with the folks with Patriot Talk 920. They've got a big launch party, big dinner. And I know he's excited to meet a lot of his listeners in the Houston area. He'll also be talking about his new book, which if you have not picked up, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You're missing out. Which is a great question. Should and can America be saved? If you look at the world, and we've got a lot we are going to cover in this first hour, you've got the pro-Hamas demonstrations happening all across America at these universities, these places of higher places of education. Then you look at what's happening in Manhattan. You've got the judge there slapping a gag order on the former president, Donald Trump. Meanwhile, President Biden out at the State of the big White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend, he wouldn't shut up about his criticism towards his political opponent, and that's Donald Trump. You've got Michael Cohen, the star witness for the DA, Alvin Bragg, who's literally built this case on Michael Cohen. He's now got a podcast, and he's going on his podcast every single day and slamming the former president. But no, President Trump cannot mention anything about the weaponized DOJ and the two-tier system of justice. And if he does, well, we are going to fine him $1,000. And if he breaks that, and the judge ordered and ruled today that Trump has been breaking these gag orders, well, then we might throw him in jail. Because that's the banana republic we're living in. But I do want to start with what's happening at these campuses all across America. You've got what happened overnight into the wee hours of the morning at Columbia, their Manhattan campus. You've got these Jew-hating students, these nimwits, overtaking the Hamilton Hall. And here's what that sounded like. They're breaching the entrance. They're smashing their way into this historic building, breaking glass, barricading. You've got a couple employees that are janitors for the school, and they're locked in there. Now, they've taken hostages. Take a listen in Cut 21. So that's happening at 2 o'clock in the morning. This after these students and activists, let's be very clear, they're more than just students. You've got these paid George Soros funded activists coming to campus and stirring up all of this craziness. They got the deadline yesterday by school administration officials at Columbia. 2 o'clock, two in the afternoon, you guys better pack up your cute little tents and get off campus. Now I'll throw it out to the great smart audience of the Todd Starnes Show. Do you think they listen to the bosses? And who are the bosses? That's the other thing. Who's running the show here? Is it the president of Columbia? Clearly not. Is it the staff and faculty? Oh, well, hell no. They've joined the protests. It's unbelievable. So it's kind of like as a kid, and I'm 25, I'm a younger guy. So I remember this very, this wasn't in my far past. You go to your Target or your Walmart, your favorite toy store, and you're a kid. You want a toy. You're in aisle 7, and you want that Matchbox car or Legos. What do kids play with now? I don't even want to know. And you're asking for the toy. Dad and mom say you're not getting the toy. And you're going to get off the ground and you're going to come with me because I'm the boss. I'm dad. I'm mom. And I continue throwing a temper tantrum. Now, my parents would have smacked me, gave me a spanking right in the middle aisle of that Target. And I would have been marched right to the parking lot and I would have been sent right to the corner in our living room. And then after that, my privileges would have been taken away. But how you have the administrator, the school officials at Columbia, but it's not just Columbia, it's Yale, it's the, you've got these now breaking out at Chapel Hill campus on the University of North Carolina. You've also got what's happening at George Washington University. They're not only allowing these kids, and I say kids, these Jew-hating anti-Semites, to throw temper tantrums, they're incentivizing them to do that. If you don't think for one second that Columbia could come in there and end this madness by, let's see, lunchtime today, you're mistaken. Because all they would have to do is pick up the phone, they call NYPD, get to the campus, arrest all of these students, right? Because now we've crossed over the whole First Amendment rights. This is our freedom of speech. You can't break and cross into and trespass into other people's private property. That is not afforded by the First Amendment of the Constitution. So now you've violated laws. And yet, NYPD is still waiting for that call. I mean, you can't make this up. As mentioned, George Washington University in our nation's capital, they've actually thrown pro-Palestinian gear, signage, and also the Palestinian flag over the sculpture in the center of campus, which is our first president, George Washington. I want you to take a listen to this in Cut 25.
Let me show you what goes right to the core of what really hurts the passions of the Jewish students. And that is the, here, long live the Intifada. There is only one solution, Intifada Revolution, here, from the river to the sea. These are the chants that the Jewish students say is anti-Semitism. And it is everywhere here as we walk. Here, come with me this way, Will. We'll take you over here and give you a little look into the encampment a little closer. Because there's one thing I wanted to show you, Steve, and that is the signature statue here. George Washington himself has been draped in a Palestine flag and also the keffiyeh, which is a traditional headdress, a black and white headdress that's worn by Palestinians. And that, of course, has become quite a symbol of the situation here. We can show you and get a look there right in the center of campus. This is University Yard. This is where they originally took him over. And you can see up here, this is George Washington, the statue here, graffitied, covered in stickers, and this is what really hurts the Jewish students as well, to see a scene like this right now.
George Washington would be rolling over in his grave. Obviously, this is just unbelievable, and that was audio obtained by Fox News. They had a reporter on the ground. So here are what the students, these nimwits, are demanding from their universities. Get ready. They want Columbia, fill in the blank of the university, to divest from their support of Israel financially. Number two, become more transparent with the university's investments. And number three, and of course this would be slipped in there with their demand list, they want to get blanket amnesty to students and activists who have taken part in the disruptive week-long demonstration. Who could have seen that coming? Because any employer in America that looks at these students that probably got degrees in activism, now wanting a job, are going to get on their Instagram and realize that Kathy, that was at the Antifada or whatever these protests are in Columbia, now want a job, and we're not going to hire that. So these kids don't want this on their record. Here is one of these students. This was over at Columbia. This was after the 2 o'clock deadline. It came and then it went. And here is what she had to say. Cut 30.
Just because they're not getting the police to arrest us doesn't mean that, you know, like, our demands are met. So that's why we feel the need to continue to protest. And this camp symbolizes, like, the every start of the student encampment, like, around the United States and also, like, in the wider part of the world. So we feel the need to protect this encampment and also, yeah. Just.
And what's your name?
Sorry, I can't say.
Why can't you say? Girlfriend. I mean, take off your mask. She, you couldn't even see her eyes. She had a scarf that was wrapped around her neck, her body, and her face. I want to know, if you're going to be a anti-Semite, at least be a brave one. Don't be a coward. But that's exactly what these kids are, and they're being pushed and promoted by leadership at these universities. So my question to you guys is very simple. What do we do with these students? They're not going away anytime soon. Deadlines have come. Deadlines have gone. And they're still marching. They're still screaming. And now they're commandeering their university campus buildings. What do we do with them? That's the question. Our number, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
All Americans have the right to peacefully protest. At the same time, we have to call out any hateful rhetoric that we hear. Anti-Semitism is wrong, and so we're going to continue to do that. But universities and colleges make their own decisions. It is up to their leadership. We're not going to weigh in from here.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter, the morning show host on the local station KWAM, where Todd hosts the national show, filling in as Todd is up in the sky somewhere heading down to Houston. He's excited to hang out with the folks with Patriot Talk 920. Of course, that was Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. Yesterday, she was asked about the 2 o'clock deadline yesterday. The kids had to get their tents and they had to go home. And they defied that, and that was her response. Right? They're trying to two-side this. I do love watching these. Okay, so as bad as it is for the country, it is nice to see Democrats eat each other. Because that's exactly what's happening. I haven't once seen a protester sign reading Donald Genocide or Genocide Donald. Every sign that they're holding reads Genocide Joe and blood is on Joe Biden's hands. And that does not campaign well. That does not politic well. And I hope he loses over this because he's trying to do both. He's trying to pander to both sides. And you can't pander to a group of students that are screaming death to Jews and death to America. Or can you? Could we descend to that low? I wouldn't put it past anything with this administration. So speaking of the White House and their response to what happened today at Columbia, because now it's really getting heated up. They released a statement on the occupation of Hamilton Hall at Columbia University. Quote, President Biden has stood up against repugnant anti-Semitic smears and violent rhetoric his entire life. He condemns the use of the term intifada as he has the other tragic and dangerous hate speech displayed in recent days. President Biden respects the right to free expression, but protests must be peaceful and lawful. Forcibly taking over buildings is not peaceful. It is wrong, and hate speech and hate symbols have no place in America. Should we point out here that did not come from Karine Jean-Pierre, or you're not going to hear President Biden say that. That's coming from a low-level staffer within the administration. His name is Andrew Bates. He's the deputy press secretary. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Sunny from Florida. That's a fitting name for someone that lives in the Sunshine State. Sunny, welcome to the Todd Starn Show, and what is on your mind?
Thank you. I understand, though, there's a lot of paid activists in all these demonstrations throughout our country. And I understand the payee is a fellow by the name of George Soros. If this is the case, I think you ought to take George Soros and deport him back to Hungary where he came from.
You know, and, Sonny, that's an excellent idea. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, from what I understand, there's an open warrant for him in Hungary. This guy goes all the way back to World War II with collaboration with the Nazis. And I kid you not, there has been several articles that printed about him, and Soros wasn't his given name. His father changed the name in about 1934, 35, when Germany or the Nazis and the Hitler were expanding their reach.
Well, Sonny, let me jump in here. There's no question that this is all being funded by George Soros, who hates his son, maybe not as much as his son Alex, though. I mean, you've got to keep the eyes on the son. So as a matter of fact, they're now being called copycat tents, because the tents that are going up at all of these college campuses are carbon copies of each other. And if you look at who is funding them, it is George Soros and his hard left conglomerates paying these agitators. And that's why it's starting to reek of other protests that we've seen all across this country in years past. Look at 2020. All of the signage was the same. The chants were the same. And it is to create chaos in this country. And if you have chaos, that breeds instability. And the government needs instability. Why? Well, because they can come in as daddy and save people, quote unquote, in the name of democracy. That's exactly what's happening. So it's a scary time. And speaking of, you've got George Soros and these handpicked district attorney all across the country. Here in Memphis, we have one, but I want to zoom in on Manhattan, where this came out earlier today. The judge that's teamed up with Alvin Bragg, who is the district attorney that was backed by George Soros, Juan Merchan, found that President Trump is in contempt, fining him $9,000 for violating the gag orders multiple times, warning that he could also face jail time. Now, in this decision, it keeps the current gag order in place. It finds Trump in criminal contempt for violating the order a whopping 9 times. It will threaten jail if necessary. Fines Trump $9,000 to be paid by May 3rd, so right around the corner. Also orders the president to remove the 7 Truth Social posts towards Michael Cohen. Now, Michael Cohen is on these podcasts every other day. He's making his media rounds saying garbage like this. Cut 26.
He put out another post that attacked me. I'll tell you how I would act on it. If I was the judge, I would turn around and I would say, Donald, grab your toothbrush, grab your hair, and report to 500 Pearl Street, the criminal court, because you're spending the night in the tombs downstairs. And you'll spend every day. We'll bring you up for the trial, but afterwards, you're not going back to your triplex. You're going downstairs to the pokey until you learn how to act like a human being. That's what I would do.
So the judge, the Democratic judge who has a daughter campaigning off the fact that her dad is the judge in this case, sided with that nut job that you just heard, Michael Cohen, who is he committed perjury, and they built the entire case on this liar, Michael Cohen. All right, we're going to take a break. More on the other side. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. Todd is headed off to Houston, and we're actually going to catch up with Todd when he lands in Texas coming up later in the show. Also on deck, very excited, we're going to have a couple Patriots on the program coming up at 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. Congressman Mark Alford, also at 1:35, Congressman Tim Burchett, who I would argue is one of the last true conservatives on Capitol Hill. 2:35 this morning, we'll be joined by Liz Peek, and she's got a great op-ed out on what is coming out of this administration. I mean, right now, President Biden is making President Carter look like a Republican. I mean, the things they are just jamming through one after another. She seems to believe that they understand that the writing is on the wall, that he's not going to get a second term. So let's jam as much of this radical transformative policies to finish what Obama talked about, fundamentally transforming the fabric of this country before he's sent to Delaware to a retirement home there. So we'll jump into that. But this broke earlier today. This is maybe not too shocking for a lot of folks in the Todd Starnes audience, which is that it appears that we have a Democratic House Speaker. So earlier this morning, emails hit multiple inboxes, from Capitol Hill, coming from House Democratic leadership. The House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, sending out an email to every Democratic congressman and congresswoman, which is, we are going to protect Mike Johnson, because Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple other conservatives could be bringing this motion to vacate the chair. Now, this reporting is by a Fox News reporter, and he did a deep dive on why this is a big deal. So the rumblings on Capitol Hill was that House Democrats were probably going to protect Mike Johnson if this motion came forward. But it would have been a small number of Democrats, right? Maybe some moderate Democrats, not the entire rank and file of the Democratic Party. Why this is a big deal is ultimately the Democrats are going to get their speaker one way or the other. I don't see a win in this situation, because you've got good motivations and good principles behind the motion to vacate the chair. And I hear the argument, which is Mike Johnson appears to care more about the borders of Ukraine than our own southern border. Right? We thought Kevin McCarthy was bad. I mean, this guy makes Kevin McCarthy look like a solid Republican. And let's not forget, just a week ago, they passed that $96 billion foreign aid package. Most of it went to Ukraine. But if we vacate the chair and we get another Republican, we'll probably get another Republican much like Mike Johnson, who is no Republican. That's why you have the Democrats, the moderates to the progressives, supporting Mike Johnson. Hello, it's like they've got their guy. Why would they need to get Hakeem Jeffries? Because Hakeem Jeffries and Mike Johnson, they're cut from the same cloth. So we're going to ask our congressman about this coming up in the next hour. But I think it's very clear why we're not seeing the efforts that we need as Americans, who poll after poll suggests that our top concern is our economy, followed then by the southern border. And we're not getting any of that from our House Republicans. At the top, Mike Johnson. So it's very clear that we have a House Speaker in name only, a Republican, but he's just as bad as the rest of the Democratic Party. And that's obvious because they want to keep him. And Todd has made this point on the national show, on this show multiple times. Is the House Speaker compromised? Why is it that they are going to save his skin if, in fact, Marjorie Taylor Greene brings this motion forward? I'll throw it out to you guys. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I mean, they got everything they wanted with our House Speaker. There wasn't one thing in those four bills that were ultimately sent over to the Senate. They got whatever aid was sent over to Israel. It was a drop in the bucket compared to what they got in funding for Ukraine. Of course, they got the Ukraine. That was $60 billion. And then there was a little bill in there for maybe the border that got thrown out, which was the wink for conservatives. That was the only thing we had going for it. And there was no funding for the southern border. Oh, and then the TikTok ban. There was nothing in that bill that was passed by the majority of Republicans in the House for Republicans. And that's, you know, it was the day after that all passed. It was a Saturday night. You had all of the Democrats and the Republicans waving those Ukrainian flags. I mean, treasonous. The next morning, New York Post, every newspaper in America, this is a huge win for President Biden. He needs this as we move into November. If we lose in November, it's on the Republicans. It's on people like House Speaker Mike Johnson. Want to go to our phone lines. Mike calling in this morning. Mike, phoning in from Maine this morning. What is on your mind? What do you make of this news coming out of the House?
Well, the disorder in the House is stunning to me. You know, we voted to give these guys the power of the purse, which they didn't use, number one. That's obvious. But the dysfunction in the House worries me more.
Are you referring to the infighting between more the moderates, the Freedom Caucus?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, you know, it's not, look, we gave up a seat in New York. We sent a guy home to New York because he was a liar. Now,
right.
If we sent everybody home because they were a liar, we'd be in trouble. So we gave up an extra seat we had. You know, we're just acting like complete fools down there.
Mm-hmm.
They can't seem to get it together. And look, the Republicans probably will stick together on this no matter what. But I got to tell you, the independents won't during the election. So if we can't show them we can lead, you know, it's the old saying, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to be at.
Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the frustration for folks back home in their districts, I mean, we talk about this on the morning show, KWAM, where we're broadcasting and where Todd broadcasts this national show from. We send these good folks to Washington. They get to the Beltway. The next thing, they're voting right alongside of the Democrats. Whatever happened to the party of fiscal responsibility? I mean, we don't have the money to be forking over $60 billion to Ukraine with no end goal in sight of what we're doing over there. And I think Americans, to your point, Mike, we're fed up.
Yep, exactly. You know, and I just got to tell you, it's really disappointing to watch. You know, when we gave them the power of the purse, we meant you use the power of the purse. No money goes nowhere until we secure our own border. That's what we were looking for, most of us. They couldn't even seem to pull that off.
Yeah, no.
So they're very disappointing to most Republicans out here. And they sure as hell aren't very impressive to the independents.
Yeah.
And if we don't win the independence, we're not going to win this.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. Mike calling in from Maine, the great affiliate WLOB. Your thoughts on the House Speaker getting the full support, not just by moderate Democrats. No, every single member of Congress with a D behind their name. They're backing Mike Johnson. We're going to open up our telephone number, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Can we talk about the dog real quick? Dylan Dandridge over there. We talked about this morning. I know Todd talked about Trump's potential VP, Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, yesterday. It has really caused more backlash than I think I've seen in a long, long time over a dog. And I get it. You can't kill puppies. What is the famous line in politics? You can get away with hell, but you can't get away with... Did I just make that up? Maybe. You can't get away with killing puppies. Well, she did. She killed her 14-month-old dog, Cricket. So we've got a follow-up. According to the New York Post, Donald Trump was not too happy when he heard about the dog, Cricket. South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem has, quote, no shot at being Donald Trump's running mate after revealing in her forthcoming book that she shot and killed her puppy. Sources close to the 45th president told the Post. They went on to say that Trump was bewildered to hear about the account. They go on to say, according to this source speaking to the Post, that Trump isn't necessarily a dog person, but he understands that you can't choose a puppy killer as your pick for blatantly obvious reasons. I think that's fair. No, Trump doesn't strike me as a pet guy. Does President Trump have... If he would have a pet, he's a dog guy. There's no way there's a cat in Mar-a-Lago. Am I wrong on that? A second source told the New York Post that Trump likes Kristi a lot, the South Dakota governor, but was disappointed when hearing the dog story. They went on to say, and we'll wrap up with this, quote, it certainly has not enhanced her chances, but no decision has been made concerning any of the VP candidates. Leading me into my next question. He still has not picked that VP. And a lot of people are talking about the big meeting he had with Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. They met. It's like they're burying the hatchet. We'll have that story on the other side. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
So the Daily Caller had a poll that they posted yesterday reading, who do you trust more with a gun, Alec Baldwin or Kristi Noem? Oh, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter filling in. So the respondents, and I'm looking at the final tally, they trust Kristi Noem with a gun more than Alec Baldwin. 89% said they would trust Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, more than Alec Baldwin. Yeah, this whole thing is such a mess. And I think it's unfortunate. I think it was an unforced error. You know, when you release a book, and I have not released a book, but I know that because Todd released multiple books, but his last one, Can America Be Saved? Twilight's Last Gleaming. You can release excerpts of a book to a publishing company, to a news organization, and they'll reveal little bits and pieces of that book. And so not only did the governor write about killing Cricket, it then went through the publisher. Her team decided to cherry pick out of all of the pages. I don't know how many pages are in this book. No Going Back is the name of the book. And they chose that excerpt. So it's like, you knew this was going to be a big story. And I again, it's a dog. And I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up kind of in a rural part of northern Pittsburgh. And it's not uncommon for folks that live outside of the city to do similar things. Now, what is uncommon is for those folks to then write about those things. I just wouldn't have written about it, and you would have been fine. But maybe there was someone that saw in the Guardian piece where this first broke. Allegedly, there were three construction workers that saw her shoot cricket. So maybe they were coming for her. Maybe they were going to the New York Times, and she just thought she would beat them. So anyhow, the ladies on The View took a... Of course, the ladies on The View, who think nothing of killing babies, even into the last trimester, found so much offense to this. We've got this in Cut 20.
Sometimes dogs, they are like your children.
Yeah.
They are your fur babies. Mm-hmm. And it is despicable that she not only did this, she wrote about it and is defending it. And I am afraid that the rumor is that Trump will pick her as his vice president.
Well, you know what? I hope he does. I hope he does pick her as a vice president so that we can all show up and protest against her with our puppies.
Okay. Sit down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same women that applaud and celebrate late-term abortion are upset over the Republican governor killing her dog. Those people can't, they don't have an opinion on this. No, they certainly do. PETA came out with this statement and they were calling Kristi Noem a sociopath. Okay. But was it the best look, especially if she wanted to be Trump's VP? I don't think so. So Governor DeSantis from Florida and President Trump had this meeting, and it was arranged by a Florida real estate broker. The governor, President Trump, seem ready to put their feud from the Republican presidential primary aside. This, according to Politico. The two Republicans met in Miami this on Sunday to talk about how they could work together during the general election, according to half of people familiar with both teams. So President Trump did release a statement on this, and a lot of people are saying that we should see a Trump-DeSantis ticket. I don't know about that. Also, I know that how the electors work in Florida, both guys cannot be from the Sunshine State. So I don't know if that would work, but it did appear that the former president was very encouraged with his meeting with DeSantis. He said this, quote, "I'm very happy to have the full and enthusiastic support of Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We had a great meeting yesterday arranged by a mutual friend. Blah, 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 blah. This conversation mostly concerned how we would work closely together to make America great again. Also discussed the future of Florida, which is fantastic. I greatly appreciate Ron's support in taking back our country from the worst president in the history of the United States. November 5th is a big day." You love to see it. This is how Trump plays. I mean, he's a deal maker. And what's disappointing is to see the never Trumpers not seeming able to bury the hatchet, to put this feud to rest. They're still angry because Trump said mean things. Oh, come on. This is politics. This is how the president works. You attack him, he'll double attack you. And then when you like him, he'll like you back. But I was glad to see DeSantis do this. And apparently, according to Politico, he's going to fundraise for the president. And DeSantis has been an effective campaigner and fundraiser. If you recall the presidential primary, the guy had massive donors. So if he can get those over to Team Trump, I think we're in a better place when it comes to November. Speaking of November, George Stephanopoulos on ABC had a meltdown because this is the most, quote, abnormal election of our lifetime. Cut 18.
Until now, no American president had ever faced a criminal trial. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment for concealing classified documents. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment or a state indictment for trying to overturn an election. No American president had ever faced hundreds of millions of dollars in judgments for business fraud, defamation, and sexual abuse. The scale of the abnormality is so staggering that it can actually become numbing. It's all too easy to fall into reflexive habits, to treat this as a normal campaign, where both sides embrace the rule of law. But that is not what's happening this election year. Those bedrock tenets of our democracy are being tested in a way we haven't seen since the Civil War. It's a test for the candidates, for those of us in the media, and for all of us as citizens.
George Stephanopoulos. Let's talk about this. The criminal trial of Donald Trump making this an unprecedented election. No, what makes this an unprecedented election and now a normal election is the fact that you are persecuting Joe Biden's political opponent, former President Donald Trump. All right, more on the other side of the break. On deck, we've got Congressman Tim Burchett, also Congressman Mark Alford. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show. Don't go away.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ben Dieter filling in for my boss, Todd Starnes. It's an honor to do it. You know, I was talking to Todd yesterday. He said, this is your big debut. So let's go, America. Here I am. You know, Todd gave me my first job out of college, and I will take a moment to say something about my boss, your favorite host. Todd practices what he preaches. What he talks, he also walks. I mean, what you hear on air is Todd off air. And, you know, one thing I really do appreciate about Todd, there are so many headlines against Gen Z. So that would be what people between, let's see, that includes me. And yet Todd has thrown multiple opportunities to young people in America at these universities, colleges. I went to one in Dayton, Ohio, to get young conservatives behind microphones. You know, we've got to play chess when it comes to the left. You've got the Biden administration. They've deputized kids, essentially, that look like me, young people. And they're on TikTok and they're making a fortune. They're making a fortune doing it. And they're appealing to a younger audience. What they want is to convert all of those young influencers over to Biden supporters. And I think a missed opportunity for conservatives is, no, I don't expect us to get on TikTok. I don't see President Trump joining the social media app. I don't think he needs to. But one thing Todd has been adamant about is raising up the next generation of young broadcasters. And so that's why I am in Memphis, Tennessee. And I've learned from the best. You know, people will ask me, how did you get to where you're at? How do you do what you do? And I say, well, I went to the school of Todd Starnes. The Todd Starnes School of Broadcasting. That's a great... I think Todd has been offered a couple different jobs at journalism schools across the country. He'd be great. So he teaches me my job. And I came to Memphis when I was right out of college, super green. And Todd took me under his wing and showed me the tricks of the trade. And here we are. So big shout out to my boss, who is, by the way, going to Houston to hang out with the folks. Patriot Talk 920. They've got a big launch party, also a dinner. Todd's going to meet a lot of his listeners, so very excited to hear a report from Todd, hopefully in the next hour. Also on deck in this hour, Congressman Tim Burchett, from right here in Tennessee. He's going to join the program. We're going to talk about some news coming out of the House, which is that House Democrats have the full support and are fully backing our Republican Speaker, Mike Johnson. No one's shocked by that at this point. But I didn't want to focus on what is happening and what appears to be a shift away from the Democratic Party. So yesterday, Todd broke down the polling coming from CNN, the Wall Street Journal. All of these polls are favoring President Trump. I mean, the latest one had Trump up like 6 points. If you include RFK Jr., the independent, Trump is running away with this thing up 9 points over President Biden. And the left and the conglomerate media are in panic mode. Starting with this moron, James Carville. So he went on CNN yesterday, and here was his take on young people like myself, like Dylan over there, voting for President Biden. Wake up, James says, cut seven.
If they get a hold, there will be no government left. There'll be no rights left. You'll live under theocracy. You'll end up Christian nationalism. But that's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
Is he okay? I mean, that's quite the incentive to get maybe disgruntled Democratic voters below the age of 25 to vote for Joe Biden. Essentially, F you, you crazy lunatic. No, that's not cut. That is not going to get these young kids like Dylan sitting over there to vote for Trump or for Biden, rather. You know, and if you look at the state of our quote unquote democracy, because for the left, that's the chant. That is their platform. We've got to save democracy. We played that audio of ABC's George Stephanopoulos last hour. He said democracy is on the ballot and we're this close to losing it. No, we're not. You know, it's not like we didn't endure, and I say endure facetiously and sarcastically, 4 years of President Trump. And what did we have under President Trump? We could actually afford to rent an apartment. I've got this story by the Wall Street Journal in front of me. The era of one-stop grocery shopping is officially over. Consumers are making 8% more trips to different grocery stores as inflation continues to upend household budgets. What? So no longer are the days that you can just go to Kroger. You're going to have to go to Kroger, then Aldi's, then Walmart, then the supermarket, then you can't go to Whole Foods. I mean, Whole Foods will rob your bank account. We've forsaken Whole Foods. So in this report, data collected by the firm Numerator, it found that consumers bought groceries from an average of 20.7 different retailers between March 2023 and February 2024. That's up 23% from this time last year. 20 different grocery stores to just get... I'd rather go bankrupt before I go grocery shopping at 7 different grocery stores. But that's the impact of Bidenomics. What we've been sold is apparently working. KJP, the press secretary for the White House, she said this about the economy yesterday, doubling down that Bidenomics is working for Americans trying to put food on their table. Take a listen and cut it.
Is the president frustrated that despite the fact that he continues to say what he has done, that some Americans are not feeling the impact of his policy?
Look, we have seen some consumer confidence go up over the past couple of months, and I think that's important to note. And so that is out there. That data is out there. Look, this is we're talking about a president who understands what it feels like to sit around your kitchen table and have to make difficult decisions. We get that. He gets that. This is why he's trying to build an economy from the bottom up, middle out. He's been very, very clear about this is a sympathetic president, so he gets it. So he's not going to be frustrated by that. What he's going to do is continue to do the additional work to lower cost and do everything that we can there, and to go out there and speak directly to the American people. I think that's the most effective way to do that.
Bidenomics is working. She was pounding on the podium. It's like, good grief, girl. Just get the president remarks to the public and shut up. So do we really think that President Biden knows exactly what it's like to put food on his table? I mean, does the president even know where his table is? That's the question I think most Americans are asking. I mean, the guy can't even... Did you see him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner trying to slice that roll with a butter knife? So the theory is that what we're feeling when we fill up our tanks, what we're feeling when we go to Kroger and buy groceries is not actually that bad at all. As a matter of fact, Bidenomics has been a crushing success. And I know within my friend group, and I would say it's all under 25, we are cutting back. I mean, we would go out on a weekend. Now it's like, well, maybe we'll just have a couple drinks in, because you go to a bar and a drink is like $18. Again, we're not talking groceries now. I'm off topic. Oh, you get my point, though. It's affecting every single American. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, young, old. Everybody's feeling the ramifications of what happens when you ship our jobs overseas, when you decide we're going to be energy dependent as opposed to independent. So I'm curious to hear from the listeners today. Are you cutting back? Are you going to different grocery stores? I have one downtown Memphis that I love. It's a local grocery store, and they sell a lot of different local products. Unfortunately, because it's not like the big box chain retail stores, it costs you an arm and a leg. And I know personally, and my boss Todd, who I'm not sure is listening right now, he pays me all right. He actually pays me a lot of money. And it's even affecting me. So curious to hear from you guys out there. Are you cutting back in the world of Bidenomics? 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. And maybe for the moms out there, are you guys shopping at different grocery stores as opposed to one-stop shop? You're done. Now you're going to 8 different grocery stores to make ends meet. This is the Todd Starn Show. We'll be right back. Don't you hate it when you find a company that you love and then you find out more when you get invested to the company that they're run by radical progressives? That's not the case with Patriot Mobile. No compromises when it comes to America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They are an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all 3 major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Defund the left. That's what they're doing. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you'll support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching super easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade, and their team is going to help you find the best plan for you. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. You can get your first month on them when you use this offer code. Write it down, SPRING24. Join us, make the switch today. That again is patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. So the president is struggling to get a crowd anywhere he goes. Of course, I'm referring to President Biden. We're now under 200 days away from November 5th, and it couldn't get here soon enough. He holds these rallies. His opponent is locked up in court Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. So he really should be running away with this race if you think about it. He doesn't have an opposition. The guy cannot get a crowd above 200 people. And that's being very generous. You know what he needs to do? I have an idea for President Biden. He needs to go to Manhattan, and he needs to stuff cheese balls in his face. Genuinely, this video is circulating online. It's got over millions of views, and it's the cheese ball man. Did you guys see this? So across New York City, for about 2 weeks, there have been these posters that were up on sides of buildings, telephone poles. And it said, basically, quote, come see me eat this entire jar of cheese balls on April 27th. And so people showed up. And so the guy, it's this young dude. And I would say maybe 500 people are circling this dude, whose one mission was to stuff as many cheese balls down his throat as possible, which sounds absolutely disgusting. And actually, a reporter caught up with him, ABC 7 in New York, and the guy was like heaving. I mean, can you blame him? It's like a whole jar of those, you know, like the crunchy orange things. Dylan, what are they called? Flaming hot Cheetos?
Yeah.
But it's just the balls. Do I have that correct? You've seen the video.
Yeah.
So anyways, he starts the ceremony by running around holding up a flag. He had a mask on before he started eating the cheese balls. This was the audio from the video. Take a listen in cut number two.
Eat that cheese ball! Eat those cheese balls! Eat those cheese balls! Eat those cheese balls! Eat those cheese balls!
Wow, okay, so that's him downing the entire plastic tub of cheese balls. According to ABC 7, it took him about 30 minutes after the fact. Again, this is the appeal that the president needs. There was a line out the back door down the street of people wanting autographs by the cheese ball man. He says he's going to do it again next year. Same place, same time, and he wants to eat two containers of cheese balls. So the more you know. Speaking of this administration, so they're hemorrhaging right now with voters really disgruntled about the economy. So who do they send to the couch of Drew Barrymore? Vice President Kamala Harris. So she's on an economic opportunity tour, and she's going from state to state. It started in Atlanta. And she's trying to highlight the economic opportunities created by Biden's administration, emphasizing things like small business creation, job creation, access to capital, infrastructure, and healthcare, blah, 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 blah. But that wasn't the way that Drew Barrymore, which I don't, why is she relevant? Dylan, you know more about her than I do. She was what, a child actor? Or is she a young actor? I don't even know. I've never watched one of her films.
She was a child actor, and she's done a bunch of different things. So she's pretty famous.
Well, she should stick to acting. Although this probably is acting. You heard the audio. Yesterday, you guys played where Kamala said on the couch, on the talk show, that anybody making fun of her cackle was supporting the patriarchy, and it was allegedly sexist. And it's like, no, Kamala, the reason we don't like you is not because you cackle, which we don't like when you cackle at opportune times. It's very weird. Someone will say, hi, what's your name? And she'll start laughing. It's the timing. No one has an issue with the laugh. It's the timing of the laugh. But nonetheless, they continue on with the conversation, and Drew Barrymore had this to say, cut six.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
No. She's not my mom. She cannot be your mom. She is not Mamala. Not here for it. And honestly, it's rather demeaning. You've got a vice president, arguably one of the most powerful people in the world. You got Drew Barrymore basically kissing Kamala and telling her that she needs to give the world a hug because she is our Mamala. That's, no, absolutely not. And it went viral. And of course, you've got some people on the left that thought it was extremely condescending telling a black woman that she should be a mom of all people. It's just, it's absolutely insane. But to the point of the economy, you've got the mainstream media and the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, they're making their media rounds. And so Nancy Pelosi thinks she's going to a friendly environment, MSNBC, when she got hit with the facts of Bidenomics, cut number nine.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't think
the worst,
that anybody can accuse me of that.
We-
So you've got this liberal hack on MSNBC now being accused of being a Donald Trump supporter just because she said, you know, Nancy, the economy isn't thriving. Bidenomics has absolutely tanked this country. But again, they're not living in facts. And it's clearly showing. This is the Todd Starn Show. We'll be right back. America's leaders, everyone, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter filling in. So we've got a statement by Columbia. It appears that maybe they are taking a tiny, tiny bit of action after the students basically commandeered all of their historical buildings in an effort to create, cause a ceasefire, divest from Israel. You know, their demands keep on growing, if you've not noticed that. It was one demand, there's got to be a ceasefire. Then there was, these institutions have to divest from Israel. Make that make sense. Someone help me out here. What is Colombia going to do to cause Hamas to quit murdering folks in Israel? And then the third one is that there would be amnesty, no consequences for these pro-Hamas little Jew haters running around all these Ivy League institutions. Well, that doesn't look like it's the case because this just came down by the University of Columbia spokesperson. His name is Ben Chang. I'm going to read it. We regret that protesters have chosen to escalate the situation through their actions. Our top priority is restoring safety and order on our campus. We made it very clear yesterday that the work of the university cannot be endlessly interrupted by protesters who violate the rules. Continuing to do so will be met with clear consequences. Protesters have chosen to escalate an untenable situation, vandalizing property, breaking doors and windows, and blocking entrances. And we are following through with the consequences we outlined yesterday, starting with students occupying the building will be expelled. Protesters, they went on to say in this statement, were informed that their participation in the encampment violated numerous university policies. We gave everyone at the encampment the opportunity to leave peacefully yesterday by committing to abide by university policies. They would be allowed to complete the semester. Now, here's what they're saying about students who did not commit to the terms we offered that are now being suspended. Because there's two groups. The kids that actually went into the building and busted in there, broke the windows, held the janitors hostage for a couple hours. They're being expelled. Now, the other ones that didn't go into the building, they're being suspended. Here's what they said. Those students will be restricted from all academic and recreational spaces and may only access their individual residence. Seniors will be ineligible to graduate. Oh, that's amazing. Now, again, let me be very clear. This is coming too late, right? They've already fallen into chaos, Columbia University, and it's not just Columbia. But this is the only semblance of what I can tell is a consequence we've seen so far. Now, I'll throw it out to our listeners today, 901-260-5926. Is that enough? Does the punishment fit the crime? The crime is trespassing. The crime is not violating the First Amendment. No, no, no. These kids are not exercising their free speech because we've heard all of those people at this point. You cannot take your free speech into a building and destroy the building, right? You're vandalizing property. So does that fit the consequence of being expelled from school? Now, I've said on the morning show here on our flagship station, KWAM, that these kids need to be sent overseas. If it's so glamorous, Gaza, and they've got all the opportunities in the world, right? It is the West, our Western ideals, that are so hateful, then just go over there. No one's stopping you. I'll buy a one-way ticket. You go to Gaza and you fight for the cause, because we don't want that on our American soil. You scream death to America. We're not doing that. And I think there should be real consequences when you've got these Jew-hating anti-Semites growing in number all across the country. So opening up the phone line, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Todd, my boss, he's listening to the show a little bit. He said, where are the parents? Why aren't they beating up their kids? It's a great, great point. Anyways, let's go to our phone line. Joined now by Robin. Robin, thanks for joining the morning show or the national show. How are you?
I'm good. Robin Possman here reporting for duty. Let me tell you something, Ben Dieter. This whole situation at Columbia is an outrage. And my alma mater, GWU, George Washington University, it's the same outrage. And I keep getting email updates. How about calling the police and clearing these folks out of there? Half of them aren't even students. They're just paid agitators. And we keep enabling this behavior, so we keep getting more of it.
You know, Robin, and again, we're joined by Robin Poffman, who is a great American journalist. She's fantastic. And, you know, it's scary when you hear the things that they are screaming, death to America, death to the Jewish people. Now, I do believe they're anti-Semites, Robin, but I think it's more about they just hate the country. They hate the West, and they hate the gifts that the West affords to them, like their First Amendment rights. And they're using those rights to attack our values.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, you know, none of these people have ever opened up a book or studied history and learned about the Holocaust. And, you know, the big factor that the mainstream media never talks about, and most people, unless you know history, know that Israel, the state of Israel, was founded out of the Holocaust, that the Jews had nowhere to go, right? So where did they go? They went to Israel and they formed their own state and they put it all together. And, you know, I've been to Israel, I've been to Egypt, and, you know, it's an incredible, incredible place. I've been to Bethlehem, I've been to the Wall, I've been to Masada. I've been to Haifa, where the rockets, you know, are raining in every single night. And it's really a shame. You know, the Jews are always to blame. The Americans are always to blame. And this all goes back to, what is the goal, Ben? The goal is to have, you know, the whole Muslim rule here. Mm-hmm. And it's all anti-American, anti-Jews. They blame the Jews, easy target. And it goes on, and people are afraid to speak up. And, you know, clearly people are afraid, and, you know, we all know why, because this is a very violent mob of people. You know, they talk about January 6th and breaking into the Capitol. The last I looked at those videos overnight at 1 o'clock this morning, that they had hammers and were breaking into an academic building at Columbia. I mean, the president of Columbia, who's ever, it's not just her, but her whole cabal of people there on the board, it's time for you all to go. Bye-bye. And we need to get some very strong people in there with the testicle fortitude to call campus police, to call the NYPD, and clear it out.
Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile phone line. You know, Robin, it was interesting. I got to go to New York City over, not this last weekend, but the weekend before, and I got to go to the 9/11 Memorial. And when you look at what was committed against our country that day, and now you've got a generation on TikTok, the latest trend was promoting Osama bin Laden's letter to America, where they're trying to justify what happened. And I was standing there at the memorial and I thought, where have we gone? Who dropped the ball that now you've got Gen Z, some of these millennials, supporting, celebrating what happened to America, right? Because America is the oppressor.
Yeah, well, you know, I blame Bill Clinton and then Attorney General Janet Reno for 9/11, because after the 93 bombing, with the World Trade Center radical Islamic terrorist bombing, okay? The mainstream media loves to call it, Ben, an attack. And you and I have talked about this on your local show, that words matter, right? And it wasn't attack. It wasn't an attack. It was a radical Islamic terrorist attack back in 1993. And then President Bill Clinton and his Attorney General, Janet Reno, never came to New York and never stood on the snow back that cold day in February and never said this is a terrorist attack on America. And, you know, Bill Clinton dropped the ball. Nothing was ever done about it. And so, you know, if you have one roach in your kitchen, clearly you have a wall full of roaches. You know, there's a lot more where that came from. And we never did anything as a country to exterminate the threat. And then, you know, you forward up the clock to 9/11. And now we've been asleep at the wheel for the last, for a good, healthy majority of the past 23 years. We have a president who clearly has advanced dementia. He can barely walk. His gait is off. You know, it's not just his mind and his mouth that don't work. It's also his legs, sadly, which is, you know, showing that the dementia is advancing. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or have an MD next to your name, Ben. And at the end of the day, we've got some real problems in this country, and no one is in charge. And you look at these universities, and it's the same liberal groupthink where no one is in charge. No one is running the show. They say the prisoners are running the insane asylum and the prison. That's what's happening here, and it's a free for all. And when your kid puts his hand on the stove and gets burned, and you don't slap little Johnny's wrist and say, "Don't you ever do that again," little Johnny is going to keep doing it, right? So there's no consequences for the actions.
You're exactly right. And this is coming from the halls of Congress. Like, I mean, I fault these dumb idiots, these nimwits on these college campuses, because not only are they hateful, but they're useful idiots. But you've got half of the Democratic Party, they can't even come out and disavow what's happening on the campuses. You've got the president's spokeswoman. She said this the other day. We've got this audio. This is as strong as we're getting. Cut 23.
All Americans have the right to peacefully protest. At the same time, we have to call out any hateful rhetoric that we hear. Anti-Semitism is wrong, and so we're going to continue to do that. But universities and colleges make their own decisions. It is up to their leadership. We're not going to weigh in from here.
What do you make of it? Strong enough?
Karine Jean-Pierre, she's another one that needs to give her the hook. She needs to be totally off the stage. She doesn't believe a word she's saying. Like, her heart isn't in the game. She's just like a robot repeating memorized talking points. I mean, you know that. I know that. America knows that. The Biden administration knows that. There's all kind of rumors going around that they want her out, but they can't get rid of her, and she refuses to leave. She's hands down. I could think of some really, really bad spokespeople we've had at the White House over the years, but she really tops the list for not being able to execute the job. Do you think she's the best representative of this president? I don't. I don't believe she believes a word that's coming out of her mouth. And I think that the statement is totally weak.
Yeah. Robin, you're an American journalist. You ascended to the very top. You've been all over the place. Did you pal around with the Democrats at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? I've never gotten an invite. So I'm curious, when you see these personalities on, say, like the Fox News channel, and on one hand, they're going after the president. The next thing you know, you see their talent. They're hanging out with KJP. They're all drunk, sloshed together. What do you make of that?
I mean, it used to be back in the day a fun event. I know people personally who were in charge of it. It could be a fun evening. They do something similar in New York City called the Inner Circle, where they roast whoever the mayor is. And it used to be fun during the Giuliani years to go to that. And the media would make fun of the mayor, just like the media there makes fun of the president. It could be a light and fluffy and fun, let's have a glass of wine kind of, and rubber chicken dinner evening. Except that it's become so political and so irritating and so unfunny. I was watching Colin Jost from SNL. I mean, I guess he's moderately funny when he's kind of edited on Saturday Night Live on NBC. But boy, he was a total flop and a bomb. His timing was off. The jokes were unfunny. The president, I kept thinking that Biden was just going to just like fall down and collapse.
In his mashed potatoes and steak, Robin.
It was I was scared for both of them. I was like, what did they put in their waters? And it was not good. It was unfunny. It was all phony and fraud. And I just wouldn't waste my time at this point. And I wasted a lot of time watching it, thinking there might be a couple of good zingers out of it. There wasn't even a soundbite I would have pulled out of that thing. It was so boring.
Wow. Interesting analysis. I was curious to get your take on that. Robin, thank you for dropping by. Really appreciate the insights. And I know Todd values them as much as I do. So keep on speaking out. All right, my friend.
Thank you. Here's the bottom line. Got to clear them out.
Yep. Great point. We'll throw it out to the listeners of the Todd Starnes Show. What do we do with all of these protesters? They say they're not going anywhere. I find it very interesting, though. The end of school is right around the corner. What happens next? They're not going to have the platform to spew this anti-Semitism. Where are the parents? And what do we do with these students? 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in. On deck, Congressman Tim Burchett joins the show at the top of the next hour. Also, my boss, station owner, and the host of this show, Todd Starnes, is going to be joining us. And columnist Liz Peek. So imagine schooling your professors like this. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, when I went to school, which was just a couple years ago, I didn't school anybody. I was being schooled. I had no opinion. I mean, sometimes the professor would ask for a show of hands and he would go around the classroom and you would get to have your say on. But never in a million years would I go around demanding that my professors divest from any entity. I ran over. Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry Lynn calling from the great affiliate in Georgia, WDUN. Jerry Lynn, what do you make of these youngsters and what do we do about them?
Well, hello, honey. I'll tell you what we do about it, and we can cure it in 5 minutes. If you are caught anybody burning an American flag, if you are caught chanting death to America, they pull the bus up, they tell you you instantly lose your citizenship, get on the bus, board them from the bus to a plane, put them over troubled waters, honey, and open the door. Bye. You get no degree. You get nothing saying stuff like that about America. You are in our country.
Wow. That's, go ahead.
Even honey, I can't even believe it.
You know, it's fascinating. There was a video floating around, Jerry Lynn, where they were reciting portions of Sharia law. Now, I'll ask you, these kids that are running around half naked, screaming women's rights, gay rights, everybody's rights, they wouldn't fare well in Gaza under Sharia law, would they?
No, no. Do you think that we would get by with this nonsense if we went to any other country and decided we were going to protest how it is over there? No, they would kill you. They'd say, no, we don't go for that garbo over here.
Yep. They'd throw you off a rooftop like Morgan Wallen threw a chair off a rooftop bar in Nashville. That's exactly what we... Jerry Lynn, by the way, I was reading my boss's book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Safe? Do you know you're in the book, Jerry Lynn?
Am I?
You're in the book?
Listen,
you don't know?
I love me some Todd Starnes. No, and I love me some Todd Starnes. I tell my husband all the time, honey. I love me some Todd Starnes.
I love them too, Jerry Lynn. You're going to have to grab that copy. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
The world is watching as the leadership of our so-called elite colleges and universities continue to fail to condemn anti-Semitism and protect Jewish students on campus. Just look at the abject failure of Columbia's president to enforce their own code of conduct that they gave lip service to during the recent education and workforce hearing. Last night, the pro-Hamas anti-Semitic mob took over an academic building. The university leadership has lost complete control. It is a disgrace, and it is untenable, and we as House Republicans will hold them to account.
And welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter filling in as we are following these developments on these college campuses as these pro-Hamas demonstrations grow by the hour. That was Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Want to welcome into the conversation a good friend of the Todd Starn Show, Congressman Tim Burchett out of Tennessee District 2. He joins us on a busy day on Capitol Hill. Congressman, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me on, brother.
So what do you make of what's happening? They've taken it beyond just the free Palestine chants. Now they're destroying property. And you've got naysayers on the left. They say this is their First Amendment rights. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's this is what happens with these colleges, or public colleges and institutions. You're seeing a lot of the private schools, the elitist are. But yeah, these state legislators and federal legislators as well have got to start pulling the strings back on these colleges and universities. If they're going to fund them, they got to make it open to all students. And this, these Jewish kids getting harassed, this is not right. This is a civil rights violation. We ought to cut their dadgum money off. And these legislators need to get their heads out of their butts and figure out what's going on these colleges, on these college campuses. Here up in Washington, D.C., George Washington University, the president of the university has asked for law enforcement to come in. It's unsafe for the students. And what does the mayor of Washington, D.C. say? No. So I've asked Chairman Comer to have something. Let's call some people in. Let's get them in here tomorrow if we got to. If we got to subpoena them, let's get them, because we need some answers. This is not right. And, you know, this is what's happened. We've turned our education system over to the Marxist, and this is what we're getting. We're getting a bunch of anarchists, a bunch of spoiled brat kids that are born on third base and thought they hit a triple. What do you expect from that? I expect it to get a lot worse before it gets better, because, frankly, there's very few of us up here got the guts to call these people out. That's the problem. You know, we can sit here and talk and call in on talk shows and anonymously post stuff on the Internet, but until we cut their money off, nothing's going to happen.
I mean, well said. And same thing with Columbia. They have not reached out to the New York Police Department. No plans at this time to enter Columbia University, despite it being completely overrun with chaos. Are there conversations with your colleagues that we could see some form of legislation? What does it look like to potentially rip away some of their funding if they're not going to support all of their students, i.e. their Jewish ones?
All it takes is any in the budget just to pull the money back. Again, you got to get to the education committees, the chairman of those committees, and frankly, I just don't see it happening. I see a lot of tough talk. We're going to pass a lot of tough laws. We're going to write a lot of terse letters, but I think people ought to start looking at who they elect. And these people, I don't care if you play golf with them, you go to church with them, they babysitted your kids, they date your sister or your brother or a combination thereof. If they don't do what you ask them to do, vote them out. Mm. Vote them out.
Yeah.
That's what's got to happen. Both parties.
Well said. Both parties. To your point, you've got this aid package that was passed by the Senate, obviously the House, the president signed it. And in that aid package to Israel, right, you've got some Republicans that were okay with that. Maybe they weren't for the Ukraine package, the Ukraine portion of this. But if you look at what they're doing with that aid package, you're funding both sides of this conflict. For example, the U.S. military reportedly estimates that the construction of the pier, remember the pier the president was talking about to deliver humanitarian aid, is going to cost American taxpayers $320 million. So we, the taxpayers, are funding this pier, which is controlled by Gaza, and they're already destroying the pier. And that was given the green light by the same Republicans that are calling out this anti-Semitism. It really doesn't make sense. They're speaking out both sides of their mouth, Congressman.
Well, they are. You're going to have to dig a little deeper into that. Is $19 billion to Israel, I believe, or 19 or 16. And then, $16 billion, excuse me, to Israel, and then $9 billion to Gaza, Hamas, and you know, in all the testimony that we've had, I ask these questions. I always ask. I say, is there any way you can guarantee 100% the money gets to where it's supposed to? No, it will get to our enemies. And there again, we're funding both sides of this war. We send money to Taiwan, and who do we borrow it from? The Chinese, who are trying to defend Taiwan against. And you know, and early on in Ukraine, gas, the oil. The Russians had those. We had oil contracts with them. We're paying, but we're fueling both sides of that war too. So, you know, it's the war pimps and the Pentagon and these. And we got congressmen, not frankly, on both sides of the aisle that have invested in these missile defense systems. They bought stock in it 2 weeks before it was made public that we were going to, in fact, give Ukraine our missile defense system. And then what did we have to do? We had to replenish our supply, of course. And so, and some people made big money off that, and that is wrong. And we hear, you know, it's just follow the money. It's pathetic. And we are $35 trillion in debt. We're any out of that $95 billion package that we sent overseas, which not a red cent went to build our wall, which we could have built 12 times, apparently. Not one red, every red cent was borrowed.
It's so sickening. And this is Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, announced that their country is working on a security agreement with the United States that will fix levels of support for the next 10 years. So it looks and it appears that the $61 billion that Republicans are sending them was just the beginning of what you had the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying, oh, that's a drop in the bucket. I guess if you compare it with our national debt, it is, but I mean, come on, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's more of the same. Look, we need to turn the spigot off. I say no, you know, no border, no budget. We're funding everybody else's border. I mean, in one of the bills, it even specifically listed border enhancement. You know, we just can't continue this way. And both sides of the aisle are doing it. Mm-hmm. Start asking questions of why these people vote this way and hold them to it. Hold them to it. This is ridiculous. We just keep going down this path, and it will never end if we don't end it now.
Congressman Tim Burchett on our telephone number, the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from District 2 in the Volunteer State. You know, you've been critical of House leadership. This news breaking earlier today, House Democrats say they will save Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, should some of his fellow Republican lawmakers like Marjorie Taylor Greene seek to remove him from the position. Do we have a Republican Speaker or a Democrat Speaker? Because it appears to me they love this guy.
Well, the problem is if we kick Mike Johnson out, we will elect a Democrat or Hakeem Jeffries light. It'll be one of his handpicked predecessors or followers, excuse me, lieutenants, I guess is better. So I think what we better do is keep Mike Johnson in right now. If we don't, because what will happen is we sort of got it structured to slow the spending down towards the end of the year. The Democrats know that it's an uphill battle. They know Trump is probably going to win. They know they're going to lose the majority in the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go through this thing like Grant through Richmond. And I know it sounds good on talk radio. Let's kick him out. Let's kick him out. But when the eight of us kicked his predecessor out, we knew 100% that we'd have a Republican in the Speaker's seat. We do not have that guarantee. As a matter of fact, I would flip it the other way. I would say it's a high chance of putting a Democrat in that Speaker's chair, and that would be incredibly naive and short-sighted on our part.
I'm with you there. Congressman Tim Burchett on our phone lines. Before we let you go, I know you've had a busy day on Capitol Hill. Can you give us a summary of some of those nine bills? Not all of them, obviously, but how much damage did we do today? I know we're borrowing $32 million. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we probably did the nine bills today. We spent $32 million on one. It was for that was the one that really was the most expensive one. It spent, let's see, money on carbon sequestration. Of course, God put the plan in place. If we just plant more dadgum trees, literally, that's how you sequester carbon. You clean the air, you cool the earth, you do all those great things. You provide jobs, you provide habitat for the animals. Some other things we did, authorized a bill that would go after these abandoned oil wells and gas wells. What's happened is these companies have walked off from them. They're long bankrupted, and they're polluting the environment. And this allowed for those things to be gone after and shut down, which is what we need to do. And the other bill of any substance, it just expanded our border in the ocean out from 12 miles to 24 nautical miles off the U.S. coast. And that brings us in line with what the Coast Guard and other law enforcement agencies have thought was the law. But we've had to, as always, you know, you've got bad actors and drug dealers and people smuggling humans in. And that was some of the things to do. But we had nine. Most of them were just messaging bills, things like that, you know, worthless studies that won't cost us any money. So, but it's not a very productive day for the taxpayers.
All right, going to leave it there. Congressman, appreciate you dropping by. Folks, check out the X account of our guest. You can find him on socials at Tim Burchett Online. Appreciate the congressman joining the show. Yeah, I think he's one of the only few fiscal conservative Republicans we have left, and that's a shame. And I think, to his point, we've got to get active, not in the activist sense, we're not those people, but vote them out of office. I mean, we've got Republicans that are acting like Democrats. I mean, forego the days of fiscal responsibility within the Republican Party. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Very excited to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line because the guy that the show is named after, his show, joins us by phone, whether it be from an airport or an airplane. We'll check in with Todd Starnes. Todd, top of the not morning, I'm used to morning drive. How are you, my friend?
Ben Dieter, I am cruising down the interstate right now with the owner of Patriot Talk 920, our good friend Matthew Velasquez. So I've got you on speakerphone, so I hope we're coming in loud and clear here.
Well, then we can hear you loud and clear. Tell all of the great listeners in the Houston area a big hello. You know, Todd, a lot of these people are pretty fired up about these pro-Hamas demonstrations. A lot of chat on our social media pages this morning. What do you make of it, and what do we do with these spoiled little brats now breaking in to their historic buildings at Columbia?
You know, I'm going to answer that as we're cruising down I-69 here, but I think I want Matthew I'm going to put him on the spot here. Matthew, what do you think about these protests, and how are people in the Houston area responding?
Well, you know, you haven't seen much going on here yet. You obviously see it up in Austin at UT, but it's crazy to see how our world's upside down, where you promote Christianity, but then you can promote, you know, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorists as your heroes nowadays. So it's kind of showing you how godless of a society we're starting to turn into, and I think that's the root of everything that's going on, is these entitled college campuses are promoting, you know, evils rather than, you know, what we were founded on as a country.
Wow. You know, Ben, and the great thing about Texas is they keep most of the liberals in Austin. A few of them kind of sneak out, but for by and large, they're all there. But I will say this, you know, back home in Memphis, we have a saying. I know my grandmother used to use this a lot. Don't be acting the fool in public. And that's the problem. We got a lot of kids that are acting the fool. And I remember back in the day when you did something like that in public and you embarrassed your parents, they'd be coming after you with a belt or a hickory switch.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I don't think these parents ever used a hickory switch? That's beyond my days, Todd. My dad used a paddle.
No. You see, well, that's where the paddles come from.
Okay.
So the hickory. So
now,
the worst words in the English language were go out to the backyard and get me a switch.
The worst. So here's some Texas news for you and the friend. Who's driving, by the way? You better not put the driver in jeopardy doing these phoners in the car, Todd.
No, Matthew's driving. I'm not going to tell you how fast we're going, but he's driving.
Well, I know they open up down in Texas. So you've got, how about this for our friends in Texas? Nearly 80 people have been arrested at the University of Texas Austin, nearly all booked on criminal trespass charges, one facing an interfering with public duties charge. 95 of those booked were arrested by campus police, while the rest were made by the Austin Police Department. So there you go. They don't mess around in the Lone Star State.
Yeah, exactly. And you even see in a liberal city like Austin, you know, we still have Texas law enforcement doing the job that Greg Abbott has given them permission to do. So we have a great governor. We have a great state. Doesn't matter who comes in from California. We're still going to enforce our laws here.
Ben, can I just say this? I was kind of disappointed in UT Austin. I was hoping to see Chuck Norris on horseback lassoing.
Yeah. Did we lose Todd? Oh, there he is. Yeah. No, I, but at least they got some of these kids arrested. Now, before we let you go, let's talk about the big event tonight. So what are you guys doing? You have some time before the big event at 6 o'clock. So go get some lunch before the launch party and the dinner tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to be Todd's Uber driver today. So I told him whatever he wants for lunch, we're going to get lunch, and we're going to go have a good time tonight. We're officially launching Patriot Talk 920 here in Houston at the beautiful Houston Christian University. And Todd has been wonderful enough through this whole endeavor to support us in everything we're doing and was gracious enough to come down and be our keynote speaker tonight. So we have a room full of people ready to go.
Wow, that's remarkable. Todd, did you bring some books?
That's my understanding, yes. We're signing books and giving a speech. We're going to have a great time, and this is going to be a lot of fun as we celebrate locally owned, locally run radio here in the Houston area. We know a little something about that back home in Memphis, don't we, Dieter?
Yeah, we absolutely did. Which brings me to this notice. We just got named the 2024 Legendary Station of the Year. How cool is that? That coming down from the official Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame. Todd, congratulations. That's huge.
Well, it's exciting, and it's the great work of the KWAM team over the years, going all the way back to Johnny Cash and B.B. King. And now, what a great honor to be inducted into the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame.
All right, good stuff. Congratulations to all of you, and enjoyed the conversation. We'll pick it up on the other side with Fox News columnist Liz Peek. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show. Don't go away.
Doing that created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't
he has
think
the worst.
That anybody can accuse and, me and of that.
Oh, my God. That was wonderful, wasn't it? So MSNBC now being, I guess, accused of being the Trump surrogate. No, it's just the facts. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter filling in. Want to welcome in a great friend of the Todd Starn Show, Fox News columnist and contributor Liz Peek. Liz, it's pretty unbelievable that you've got MSNBC sculling Nancy Pelosi on Bidenomics. Wonderful to see, isn't it?
It's remarkable that if you raise your hand and tell the truth, actually counter nonsense with facts, that you got hauled over the keel for it. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Nancy Pelosi is so dug in on defending Joe Biden, she can't have a normal conversation, much less a debate, because the facts are not on her side.
You write in your latest op-ed, which is titled Biden White House Signals Pessimism About Election in a Surprising Way, and we're going to get into it, but you cite the latest CNN polling showing Trump leading by about 6 points, one of the biggest gaps we've seen yet. And in that polling, it's the economy, Liz.
Yeah. Well, it is the economy. And look, I think, I mean, what's remarkable is that the Biden camp has gone out for 2 years telling the public things that simply are not true. One of my favorite is that he's created 800,000 manufacturing jobs. It's really not that hard to go back to December 2019, which is the appropriate date because that was before COVID completely knocked the economy for a loop and caused shutdowns, and realize that manufacturing jobs have gone up maybe 100,000 jobs, although actually after the last few weeks, I suspect it's about where it was. Mm-hmm. He hasn't created any manufacturing jobs. He is certainly pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into programs that he hopes will create manufacturing jobs. And I think it's extremely uncertain about how all those projects are going to turn out. We can talk about that. But the reality is they tell lies all the time about what they've done on the economy, including that real incomes are up. They're not. They're actually still down, and all kinds of things. I mean, I think I thought that was an interesting moment, honestly, because it shows that typically the media does not push back at all. Yeah. And when it does, it's like they're a traitor.
Yeah, they immediately turn and transform from MSNBC to Fox News.
It's really quite wonderful
to watch. So you write in this op-ed that the Biden administration, it's like the writing's on the wall and they're preparing for the worst. So they're pushing through these policies that cannot be popular when I read down through your op-ed with the American people. So what is the reasoning behind their madness, Liz?
Well, I think there are two things. There are two strains or sources of policies and rules and regulations and decisions and opinions that are rolling out of the White House at lightning speed. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for a column topic, and there have been so many.
Right.
It is like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, it's overwhelming. Well, so there are two sources. One is things that can help buy votes. So they're shoring up their environmental bona fides by taking millions of acres off out of drilling prospectively in Alaska and putting through emissions rules, things like that, that they know the climate people are completely obsessed with. And also student loans, obviously forgiving the interest on student loans is an opportunity, they think, to buy back young people's votes. And they've lost young people by huge margins recently. And then the other side of the coin is, I think it's probably not well known that the White House is just chock full of young progressive activists, the kind of Bernie Sanders camp and Elizabeth Warren camp, and they're terrified that they're not going to get their, to your point, unpopular policies passed in time. And I think increasingly, you know, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that Joe Biden is losing, and he's probably going to lose in November. If indeed he's the candidate, I think he's going to lose in November, and so do they. So there is, interestingly, this 60-day rule where, in a lane, you know, if an administration loses, like the Trump administration lost, in the days following that loss, in other words, November and December, if you pass a lot of executive actions and rulemaking and regulations, Congress, with a simple majority, can overturn that within 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that happened. When Trump became president, he overturned a lot of stuff that late in the day Obama had pushed through. Biden did the same to Trump. The Biden White House knows if they pass things, if they wait until November, December, and put through a lot of this stuff, it'll be overturned. Particularly if Trump wins, almost certainly you'll have a Republican Congress. So they're making sure to do it ahead of time so that it stands. Now, I got to tell you, the courts are going to
right. Wouldn't they strike some of this down?
Of this.
Wouldn't they strike the? I mean, you go through and you list what 1, 2, 3, 4. You list 12 different things they're pushing through, and as I look at some of these, I mean, some of these are just straight up unconstitutional, and they would have to be worried about the Supreme Court unless they just do not comply with the Supreme Court. To your point about things like federal loans, student loans, forgiving all of them to shore up their base.
Yeah. So, The courts will obviously, they're already being sued on things like taking away non-compete clauses. They'll be sued on the overtime laws, I'm sure. The Supreme Court, when Obama basically dictated how power plants need to get their energy, the Supreme Court ruled that that was executive overreach and that they really couldn't just with a magic wand say, okay, no more coal plants, because that was basically the effect of what they wanted to do. Well, actually, Biden has just done exactly the same thing. Again, it's kind of buried under this avalanche of new stuff coming out, so it really hasn't been focused on that much. But he is basically going down the same path, and the Supreme Court, I will guarantee you, will turn this over, because they can't. The White House isn't smart enough. I don't care who's in the White House, or able enough to really run the whole economy, and that's what they're trying to do. They're basically on the power side, and let's face it, this is a huge part of our economy. They are ignoring totally the fact that electricity demand is rising steeply because of the climate stuff they pushed through, and that our electric grid isn't ready. They want to make, they're really creating a shortage of electricity down the road and a shortage of energy. And I'm sure, as I said, the Supreme Court will come in and change that. But again, you got to remember that there are a lot of zealots in this White House.
Yeah.
Zealots like Lina Khan, the head of the FTC, who's really kind of a nut and has tried to block one merger after another. She's lost all of these cases, and she's lost a lot of people who work at the FTC because they're just fed up with it. She's on such a crusade, and it doesn't matter if it makes any sense or not. It's pretty appalling, honestly.
Fox News contributor and columnist Liz Peek on the Patriot Mobile phone line this afternoon. Liz, what a time to be a New Yorker, and I know you are one. Want to get your response to what's happening in Manhattan? So they got this 2 o'clock deadline yesterday. The students didn't comply. They're demanding a couple different things. One, divest their financial support of Israel. They would be referring to their universities. Two, become more transparent with the university's investments. Finally, provide blanket amnesty to students who have taken part in the disruption. I bring you one of those students. Take a listen to this in cut number. This is cut number 30.
Getting the police to arrest us doesn't mean that, you know, like our demands are met. So that's why we feel the need to continue to protest. And this camp symbolizes like the every start of the student encampment, like around the United States and also like in the wider part of the world. So we feel the need to protect this encampment and also, yeah, just.
And what's your name?
Sorry, I can't say.
That audio obtained by Fox News. Now, Liz, why not say your name, right? You're clearly proud of your stances.
Yeah, because they're afraid that someday, somewhere, some school administrator is going to grow a spine and decide that that person should no longer be in school. You know, all you need to do is have these schools come out and say, okay, here is actually a red line. If you behave in such and such a way, if you break a window, break down a door, if you say these kinds of things to our Jewish students, you are out. You are expelled. And if you're a foreign student, you go home. All you need to do is do that for a couple of days, actually lay down the law, make sure everyone is very clear on what your demands are, and it's over. But they can't do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, going to leave it there. Folks, I want you to follow Liz on social. You can find her stuff at Liz Peek on X. Also want you to take the time to read her latest 2 op-eds, specifically to this last point we're talking about, 3 reasons anti-Semitism is swarming college campuses. Well, Liz, I guess to your point, they keep on giving you headlines, so continue writing your columns.
I really do. It's pretty bad.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for dropping by. Hey, you might have heard of Mike Lindell and MyPillow. No longer getting the support of big chain box stores across the country because they are conservative. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they have a great opportunity for you to fight back against this radical nonsense by having a $25 extravaganza. And when Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. I didn't until I checked it out on their website. To get the word out, I want to invite all of the Todd Starnes listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. That includes My Pillows sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium My Pillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. Now, this amazing offer won't last long, so go to mypillow.com and use that promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506 today. Again, that promo code Starnes. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show as we wrap this. This is a crazy news day. Edition of the Todd Starnes Show. By the way, Todd will be back in the seat on Thursday. Again, Ben Dieter filling in. I want to get to some of these headlines. Maybe you missed, maybe you don't care about, but let's start with Hunter Biden. So the son of President Biden, who is indicted, is threatening Fox News with a defamation lawsuit unless the cable network bends to a couple different of his demands from his lawyers. So he's upset that they had the unflattering content. You know, Joe Biden smoking crack with the strippers and the hookers. So he's upset with a couple different Fox News hosts because they did a deep dive on Hunter Biden. So, sir, sit down. You're the one that dropped off your laptop at that computer store. And the computer store said if you don't pick up the laptop within like 90 days, you forfeit the content of your laptop over to the computer store. And the computer store gave that over to the media. Although the media tried to hide the laptop, we all know that. In this letter sent Tuesday, it warned of imminent litigation over an alleged, quote, conspiracy and actions to defame Mr. Biden and paint him in a false light. Axios reporting, the attorneys requested hosts including Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, Maria Bartiromo, preserve records and called for the Fox News channel to remove one of their specials on Hunter Biden because of these unflattering photos. Again, it was his fault. He's the one running around with all of these hookers doing lines of coke with them. This isn't Sean Hannity's fault. It's the news. And he gave that to the computer shop, which in turn, they gave it to the media. So again, the more you know. Jerry Seinfeld is once again getting ire from the political left because he said, under woke America, comedy is dead. Take a listen to the comedy legend here in Cut 34.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates like in skiing.
Yeah.
Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
So a lot of people are upset with Jerry Seinfeld because he said that. No, he's exactly right. I mean, Dylan, you're a big media guy. I really don't care. I don't watch a lot of television or movies, Netflix. But what I have seen, A, is unoriginal content. Everything's being rebranded and reimagined, right? If it's a Disney movie, well, they're bringing live action to the theater. Is he right that not many of these movies and TV shows are funny like they once were? I mean, you've got to look at Friends and some of these other sitcoms. They were hilarious.
Yeah, I grew up on The Office, so like you definitely couldn't make that kind of show today.
If
you watch back episodes, there's an episode called Diversity Day in The Office. You cannot play that anymore.
So to your point, do you have Netflix? I don't have.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you seen Sex in the City?
No.
Is now on Netflix. And they have a million episodes and seasons. It's kind of like Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy is not funny.
No. Very dramatic.
So Sex and the City is now, there's a call to boycott that show because it's politically incorrect. And it is, if you look at it through the landscape of the woke left.
Yeah.
I mean, they go after all sorts of different people. I mean, there was nothing for them to make a joke about a trans person.
That's why nothing's funny anymore. Everyone's taken offense and triggered. I mean, if there's a new movie, it's got to be woke.
For example, when was the last time you sat down and watched Saturday Night Live and belly laughed?
Never. I mean, it's been a little bit more funny, but like the past couple years, no.
If it's apolitical, it can sometimes be funny.
Yeah.
But it's all political. I mean, same with the late night shows, which people aren't even watching anymore. I mean, their ratings are dead. But that's because you've got the likes like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. They've got Trump derangement syndrome, and that's every one of their monologues.
It's not funny.
Yeah, and like the thing with comedy, as I understood, it's a break from politics. It's kind of like sports. Unfortunately, the same thing has happened to sports. Like, separate. Can you compartmentalize for a moment? Make one comedy and the other, you've got the cable shows on MSNBC and CNN. Anyways, that's the latest coming from the world of comedy. I know one place you can go for jokes and great conservative content, and that is the Todd Starn Show. Also, check out his website, the Todd Starn Show. ToddStarns.com, ToddStarns.com. It's been a lot of fun. Todd will be back on Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your day, America. Thanks for tuning in.